T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Time for one of our favorite interviews of the week. He's a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest insiders in NFL history. John Clayton, brought to you by your local Nissan dealers. John, Mike Tomlin went viral yesterday. What did you make of his comments on the college coaching rumors?
Well, because they are ridiculous. There's no way he's leaving the Steelers to go to a college team. I don't care if it's USC or whatever, but there was no chance that was going to happen. He loves being an NFL coach. He's great at being an NFL coach. And obviously, there's no way that USC is even going to come close to what he's making with the Steelers. So to me, to make fun of it like he did was probably the right thing to do.
What do you make, John, at the end where he said, basically, why isn't anybody asking Andy Reid or Sean Payton about this kind of thing?
Oh, because he's right. Because, again, it's like you're talking NFL coaches who have been established and done great things. And, it's like, why? Because, Andy Reid would never do that. None of these top coaches would do it. Pete Carroll, he wouldn't do it, even though, again, he was at USC before he came here. But he had two stints with two different teams in the NFL. But, particularly there's so much problem right now with the headaches the college coaches have, mm-hmm. the transport portal, sponsorships, recruiting things, all those different issues. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, none of these top NFL coaches need that. They've got the power to do what they need to do in the NFL. They've got the comfort, and they're not going to leave the NFL to do that. So I think that's just another funny comment that he made that is valid.
I would still feel flattered that people with deep pockets would think I could go do something that I've never done before and be great at it. You know, like that would be like, I guess I don't, the Steelers job and his job security here, John, and all that is one thing. Like there, I agree with you. There was no way he was ever going to leave here for a college job. But the fact that college administrators think he'd make a great college coach, I think, is flattering, actually.
It is flattering, yeah. But also, too, it's like it's not in the cards. So as flattering as it might be, it's kind of just a wasted effort by USC or colleges to even think about that. Because, again, you want to test out every chance to get any good coach. And obviously Mike Tomlin's a great coach. So it's like you'd have to consider that. But ultimately, there was nothing that was ever going to happen.
John, do you think most coaches, just because Pony and I were kicking this around earlier debating this, do you think the majority of NFL coaches look at college, almost no matter how prestigious the job, as a clear step down? Like if you're coaching professional football, it's the pinnacle of the profession. It's what everybody's striving for. Is that in your experience how most of those guys view the dynamic?
Most of the good ones. I mean, because, again, once you establish yourself in the National Football League, particularly knowing that the owners have money, the league's making money, there's all these different things that are there. Yeah, but again, it's like if you're going to be one of these borderline coaches, and there's so many of those, mm-hmm. that come in, can get one and done, be there for 2 years. If you're not winning by the third year, then you're out. So it's like you look at those coaches, and they can't look at it short, because if they end up losing their job, there's a chance they could end in college. Look at Bill O'Brien. He had to go back to college, and he's not even a head coach in college. So it's like the borderline coaches, the ones that are struggling, they can't dismiss it. Mm-hmm. But the top established coaches, they can.
Talking to John Clayton, brought to you by Salem's Market and Grill on Penn Avenue in the Strip. Speaking of college, John, Kenny Pickett is skyrocketing up draft boards. Mel Kiper now has him as the number one rated college quarterback. He's a super senior. He went back for an extra year. Your thoughts, what you're hearing around the NFL on guys like Kenny Pickett, who are veteran college quarterbacks that make this huge leap in their senior year, and how high can a guy like that get on a draft board? Can they get all the way up to the top, to the number one overall pick?
Well, it depends if the number one overall pick needs a quarterback. But, yeah, I mean, they can, because this isn't considered to be a great year for quarterbacks. I mean, you know, last year there was five first-round quarterbacks and three that go in the top three. This year is because you got the Oklahoma quarterback, Pickett rising up. But that's not a surprise. I mean, because, again, we've watched this in the last couple of years. You know, Trevor Lawrence, I mean, he rose in the last couple years, and you've seen a bunch of the Ohio State quarterbacks rise in their
Burrow jumped from like a fourth rounder all the way to number one overall is the one I keep thinking of,
yeah.
John. I mean, he
exactly went
completely insane at LSU that last year.
Exactly. So it just does happen and that's one of the things I'm sure that not that Mike Tomlin's paying attention to, because he's too busy worried about trying to get wins in a National Football League, is that it's tough on quarterback. May be one of the toughest positions, because first off, you have to find them. Number two, if you have two or three of them and you pick one to be the starter, the other two or the other one might want to go in the transfer portal and go to another place. And then what ends up happening is that they bounce around a little bit, mm-hmm. and then don't get a chance to do anything until their last year in college. And so because of that, there's that rise. And that's why, I look at there's a similarity developing with colleges and quarterbacks and the NFL, in the sense that, in the NBA, you have one and done, right?
Yep.
Well, when you have bouncing quarterbacks because of the transfer portal and not getting a chance to play until late, and also you have the pandemic that played into it too, is that they're kind of like a one-and-done type of player, where it's like, okay, they get one good year, mm-hmm. and then they're in the pros.
Do you think for somebody like Pickett, if he's a late first-round pick now, when the season ends, do you think typically for quarterbacks their stock goes up because teams get desperate, they need a quarterback, there's pro day, there's combine, there's individual interviews, those things you believe raise a guy's stock considerably, John?
Oh, 100%, yeah, because again, you go to the Senior Bowl, you help yourself out there. I mean, you have your workouts, you help yourself there. But I don't think there's any question. And again, right now the question is going to be how many teams are going to be in need of quarterbacks next year? Because, I mean, you have not a full complement of teams that have already made moves in the last couple of years. I mean, right now you'd have to think, Carolina might be interested, just because, again, they're struggling with Sam Darnold. I mean, you don't know necessarily about Carson Wentz, although I think they're reasonably satisfied with him. You have to look at Philadelphia. So it's like you go around, and it's like there may not be as many teams looking for quarterbacks next year, but those teams got to make sure they get the quarterback. And if you're in a position where you're not winning and you're drafting high, you may have to take the quarterback high.
John, Kenny Pickett has, I think, because this matters now, apparently, you can maybe tell us how much it matters. I think his hands measure out at like 8.25 inches or something, or 8.5 inches. Very small hands for what teams seem to like. Is that, we laugh about it in the media just because it always gets brought up, but how much of a real thing is teams' sort of interest and fascination with a quarterback's hand size?
It's a real thing. I mean, because again, it's like it's not going to totally dismiss a quarterback, but the big problem is the smaller the hands, the more chance you have for making turnovers, fumbles, those type of things, particularly if you're going to be in a cold weather city where, you get into November and December and the weather's cold and all that stuff. Gripping the football is so important. Like that's, for example, one of the big values for Russell Wilson in Seattle is that he has, 10.25-inch hands. And so because of that, he can get that big grip and be able to hold on to the football when the weather's bad. And you saw a couple games over the past week with just rain itself. Seattle had it on Monday night.
Yep.
You saw Sunday night in San Francisco. And, it's like if you have smaller hands, it's tougher gripping the football. But that totally doesn't dismiss you as a top quarterback.
John, do you think there's a better chance the Steelers would use a first-round pick on a quarterback to replace Ben or go for the big splash and make an Aaron Rodgers trade?
I would have to think they would still go for an Aaron Rodgers trade, you know, over taking a quarterback, but it depends on, you know, what their record is and how up in the draft they're getting. I mean, what are they right now, 12 or 10 or something like that? You know, and that may put them in a position, but that's the one thing is that if you're there, I mean, are you going to be able to get the quarterback that you want? Because there's no guarantee that that could happen, particularly if, let's say, there's only two or three real top quarterbacks this year. And so if you're sitting at 10, I mean, you may need to trade up to be able to do it. But also, I think this team has enough veterans and stuff like that that they would like to continue winning. And obviously, Aaron Rodgers gives you the better chance, even though, again, his shelf life may only be about maybe four more years.
John, and Andrew, can you help me with this? How many press conferences in a row is it from Mike Tomlin where he's mentioned quarterback mobility? Three now?
Three, yeah.
Three press conferences in a row, John, where in one form or fashion, Mike Tomlin has commented on the mobility of quarterbacks, either Ben Roethlisberger's lack thereof, this past yesterday's presser when he wasn't talking about not being interested in college jobs. He said he scouted quarterback mobility and how it affects possession downs. Is this... It feels almost odd to hear him saying this because it's like he's openly campaigning for what he wants in his next quarterback while his current one is still very much on the roster and starting.
Yeah, but also he and Mike understands the college game and also the NFL game because now the NFL game has gone to so many more quarterbacks that can move around, mm-hmm. and that creates a lot of problems for the defenses. And so it's just the way the game has changed. And obviously, if you're getting a quarterback, you want a quarterback who can keep you in the mix for the games. And so this is just, you know, the current trend that's going in the National Football League that comes from college. And if you have a chance to do it, and Aaron Rodgers obviously is mobile enough that it's not like he's going to be running the football. I mean, hey, look at not everybody can be Lamar Jackson.
Nope.
As far as doing that. And, you know, some teams are now taking the approach that, like, for example, you notice Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona, he's not running Kyler Murray as much because he wants Kyler to concentrate on passing the football, moving around, doing those different things. And, of course, if he can move around a little bit and run a little bit if necessary, fine.
John, who do you think will be the Browns starting quarterback on Sunday?
I'm still leaving my options open on that one because we'll see how it goes with Baker Mayfield. Obviously, he wants to try. They're giving him every opportunity to mm-hmm. get out there. But, again, when you have a completely torn labrum and you also have a fracture in there, that's tough. I mean, you have to go through a harness and a lot of pain, and, you know, your throwing's going to be a little bit more limited. So I still right now, as you know, it's encouraging, but I'd say right now he's still questionable.
John, you buying the Bengals as the legitimate top dog right now, at least in the AFC North, if not maybe able to hold on to that number one seed in the AFC the rest of the season?
Yeah, right now I'm buying them as legitimate because of the way that they're playing.
Yep.
You know, their defense is doing such a great job. You know, Trey Hendrickson, such a great acquisition. You know, I think they're doing a little bit more zero blitzing than any team in the National Football League, so they're getting pressure on the quarterback. And clearly Joe Burrow is doing great. And I mean, we already know who the rookie of the year is. It's going to be Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, what, he's got 764 yards. No player in the history of the game has gotten that many yards and also that many catches for him mm-hmm. in the first seven games of a career.
John, he could sit out this week. He could not play, and he would have the record for eight games for yardage, too, which is completely insane. That guy looks like he might be the best receiver in football for the next decade. That's how good he looks to me.
He looks fantastic. I mean, yeah, and you think about, this year, even though it wasn't considered to be a good draft, I mean, you still get Ja'Marr Chase, who the debate was they should have taken Penei Sewell. Well,
yep.
Guess what? Looks like they're great with Ja'Marr Chase. And then Kyle Pitts looks to be, you know, one of the best new tight ends to ever come into the league.
John, set the scene for us. By the time we talk next week, the trade deadline will have come and gone. What is John Clayton expecting on the trade market, the big moves, the big names that get moved between now and Tuesday?
It's still debatable when anything happens with Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that they've come close to terms for a trade, but now if the Dolphins are taken to position, they want him to settle the 22 lawsuits. I mean, he's not going to be able to settle 22 lawsuits by Tuesday. And so if that's a criterion for a trade, then nothing's going to happen. Carolina got in for a little bit and backed out, so they're no longer in the mix. Certainly, I think you'll see Marlon Mack get traded by Indianapolis, because as good as he is, he's the third of three running backs right now, mm-hmm. the way they're using him. I think there'll be some defensive line movement and all that different things. I mean, right now, I think, what are we at, 85, 86 trades? I mean, I don't think there's going to be 14 trades, but certainly there's going to be a whole bunch more.
Wow. John Clayton, check him out. The best insider around. John, we appreciate it. You have a good one.
Okay, thanks.
Yes?
Broken humerus bone for Mayfield, and he still thinks he's questionable.
Whether he's going to play, it's no laughing matter, Pony. Steelers better pray and hope that he somehow lobbies them to let him play, because I would flip the line in this game if Mayfield plays, and I would make the Steelers a 3-point favorite.
Oh, I think he will play.
Well, then they're going to lose.
I don't think his ego will prevent him from watching game.
Do you think Kevin Stefanski's a smart guy, smart coach?
Yeah, I think he's afraid that if he doesn't play Mayfield in this game, he honestly risks losing him for the rest of the year.
What gets me is
he's that sensitive.
Well, no, it's also the scuttlebutt I read up there is that the team actually loves the guy that much that they want him out there too, or they he doesn't put off any of his teammates with this. That is wild to me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.